I just read something I think came from you. It's you I like, every part of you, your skin, your eyes, your feelings. Whether old or new, I hope you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like. It's you yourself. It's you. It's you I like.
It helps to be loved in order to work in this life. In fact, I'm sad for those who don't feel that they are loved. And this book is a compilation of things that I've said in speeches and in other books and in newspaper columns and on the neighborhood for a long time. Somebody said, how long did it take you to write this book? And I said, 40 years.
So this is something you've been, in a sense, as you have grown and learned, this is a distillation of that.
Yes.
It's about what in the end?
It's about being. It's about the things that matter to me.
Yeah.
It's about the white spaces between the paragraphs, which I think are more important than any of the text,
yeah.
Because it allows you to think about what's just been said. I had a professor one time, I think he's on page 20 or 22, his name was Dr. William Orr.
Right.
And he said, you know, Fred, there's one thing that evil cannot stand, and that is forgiveness. And you notice the rest of the page is blank.
Yes.
It needs a lot of time to think about that.
I can read this. Have you had people who have touched you, not moved you in order to manipulate you, but touched you inside to inside? Is that it?
That's the one.
Take
before.
A minute to think of at least one person who's helped you to become who you are inside today. Someone who was interested in you for who you really are. Someone you feel really accepted the essence of your being. Just 1 minute, 1 minute to think of those who have made a real difference in your life. Who's made a difference in your life?
Oh, a lot of people. But a lot of people who have allowed me to have some silence. And I don't think we give that gift very much anymore. I'm very concerned that our society is much more interested in information than wonder, in noise rather than silence. How do we do that? I mean, in our business, yours and mine, how do we encourage reflection? I trust that this book will do some of that, but oh my, this is a noisy world.
Why? A lot of this is about self-esteem, believing in yourself, knowing you're special.
And knowing that you're unique.
Yeah.
You know that there, when you think about it, there has never been another Charlie Rose in all of the history of humankind, and there never will be. And that's the same with every person you meet.
We all have a certain uniqueness.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why is it then you think that so many people come up short on self-esteem and on believing in themselves and having confidence to go out and take on uncharted waters?
Probably because of very early on in our lives that we weren't valued. You know, the greatest gift we can give anybody, any little child, is to help that child know that, you know, you're a part of our family, and you're a welcome part, and there are things that you can do to enhance our family.
Yeah.
You want to see a picture of two little grandchildren?
Yeah, these are your grandchildren?
Yes.
Oh, look at that. How many?
Alexander and Douglas.
How many children do you have?
We have two sons.
Right.
And the elder son has these two boys.
Mm. Why do you think Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, what does it achieve? What does it accomplish?
Oh, I hope that it's given a few more honest adults in the lives of the children who watch. Because I do think that that's a great gift. That if adults can show what they love in front of kids, there'll be some child who'll say, I'd like to be like that. Or I'd like to do that. I remember Yo-Yo Ma being on our program. He's come to visit several times.
Yeah.
And there have been families who have written to us to say that their kids want to learn the cello.
Right, because they saw Yo-Yo Ma on the program?
Because they saw him love his work on the program.
And
there have been some basketball players and some sculptors. Oh, I remember in the nursery school where I worked as I was doing my master's work in child development, there was a man who would come every week to sculpt in front of the kids. The director said, I don't want you to teach sculpting. I just want you to do what you do and love it in front of the children. During that year, clay was never used more imaginatively before or after than during that time that he came. So a great gift of any adult to a child, it seems to me, is to love what you do in front of the child. I mean, if you love to bicycle, if you love to repair things, do that in front of the children. Let them catch the attitude that's fun. Because you know attitudes are caught, they're not taught.
30 years. For you, what does it mean to be on the air with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? What's the legacy for you?
Well, I've always hoped that we'd be able to say to children that they matter, that they count, and that there was something of value that resides within them. You know, I have a little plaque beside my chair upstairs in the office that says, what is essential is invisible to the eye. That may sound like something strange for somebody who works in television, but the older I get, the more important I know that is.
Why is it important?
Because what we see is rarely what is essential. What's behind your face is what's essential.
How many kids do you think are out there who in 30 years you've influenced, who you've made a difference in and made them feel something special?
I don't care how many, even if it's just one. We get so wrapped up in numbers in our society, and the most important thing is that we're able to be one-to-one, you and I, with each other at the moment. If we can be present to the moment with the person that we happen to be with at the moment, that's what's important.
I couldn't agree more. Let me go back to what, because all of us know of Fred Rogers at the Neighborhood. You talked about what's essential is what you can't see. What can't we see about you that's essential to you, to understanding you?
You can't see my spiritual life unless you ask me about it. You don't see my family life unless you ask me about it. I mean, it seems to me, Charlie, that the things that are center stage are rarely the things that are the most important. It's usually what happens over in the wings.
What have you learned from the kids?
Practically everything.
Like what?
How to know that it's all right to say what comes to your mind right away.
Before the protective mechanisms take hold of you.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus said to the people around him, please let the little children come up here. I want to learn from them. He may not have said those words, but I think that's what he meant. I want to be involved with these innocent people who make up the kingdom of heaven.
You seem to be the calmest person I know. Soft-spoken. You have a quality that is reassuring. I mean, is that the way your entire being is? At the center of Fred, there is this stability, the sense of self, the sense of mission, the sense of calmness, because you know who you are, you know, you're sure about the connection to your God.
I get up every morning, at least by 5, have a couple hours of quiet time, reflect about what it is that is important.
Before you get on with the business of the day.
Before I go swimming. And then the business of the day. But what do you think we can do, those of us who are purveyors of this television medium? What can we do to encourage people to have more quiet in their lives, to more silence? Real revelation comes through silence.
I'm certainly not as centered as you are, and I can only look at you with a certain amount of envy and also admonishment, too, because there is something to be admired about the kind of life that you have lived. Mine is more frenetic, and I'm much more about sort of gulping in as much of it as I can find. I want to see everything, do everything, feel everything. I mean, I'm a hopeless case.
You're an enthusiastic man. And that's why people like to be. I mean, I talked with somebody the other day who said, I am addicted to Charlie Rose.
Well, bless them.
Yeah.
What did you say? Did you say?
I said, I know him, and he's one of the easiest people to talk with.
Did you say
that? I did say that. But what's essential about you?
I think, see what he's doing to me? He's turning this around, isn't he? What is essential about me is some sense of making a difference and having a satisfying life that is not only one that has some sense of value and integrity at its core, but also has some sense of connection to a larger world that makes a difference, so that you can, at the end of the day, hopefully have made the difference in your life and in somebody else's life, either because you touch them with a story, or you touch them because you recognize their sense of excellence and their sense of quality. So, you know, if you can do that in a small way, you know, and the wonderful thing about you and I, we have the opportunity, in a sense, a window, you know, to talk and to recognize and to, in a sense, speak. We have a.
But have you ever known anybody who was really satisfied or happy who had never made a difference in somebody else's life?
No. And I tell you what the other thing I do. I find that among the people I know lots of high-flying people, you know, in a variety of worlds, mm-hmm. and both who think about the country. And most people that I know want to do something that's larger than themselves. They want all kinds of achievements and acquisitions, and they want to be recognized and to take the benefit of their talent. But at the same time, they want to do something larger than their life. And they want, frequently, something that's larger than their life to affect, you know, their community, their neighborhood, their country, their world.
Well, I know that when I walk out of the studio someday and there is a child who has Down syndrome,
right,
for instance, and that child comes up and gives me a hug, I know that that's the field that I want to be growing in, because I see that people who are not the fancy people in this world are the ones who seem to nourish my soul. And I want to learn how to be the best receiver that I can ever be, because I think graceful receiving is one of the most wonderful gifts we can give anybody. If we receive what somebody gives us in a graceful way, we've given that person, I think, a wonderful gift.